Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to a very special St. Patrick's Day episode of We're Not Fucking Historians with me, Hazel Hayes.
And me. What is it again?
Shane Todd.
Shane Todd.
Shane Todd.
Yeah, I spelled my name wrong once in an exam when I was too old to be spelling my name wrong.
Did you?
Yeah.
Great story. So this week is St. Patrick's Day week. Happy St. Patrick's Day week, everybody, wherever you are.
Yep.
And whatever nationality you are.
Yep.
Because as we all know, we're a very welcoming little country. Now, what happened was, a while back we did an episode on St. Patrick, which you're very welcome to go back and listen to now. Just do a wee scroll back. Well, we wanted to sort of start the podcast with a bang, get a few big names, big hitters, you know yourself. So we blew our load quite quickly with St. Patrick, and now what's happened is it is St. Patrick's Day. So fuck it, we're doing it again.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Why not? This time, because we did more of a biography on him last time. This time we're going to talk about the celebrations themselves, the festival, the feast day, the traditions.
The legacy.
The legacy. There you go. And all the things that they do all around the world on St. Patrick's Day. So that's what we're going to talk about. This week we're going to read a few emails from people on their St. Patrick's Day traditions, which are fascinating.
Yeah. Can I guess? Mainly boozing.
A lot of boozing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of boozing. A lot of stories related to boozing.
I'll not be boozing this Paddy's Day because I'll be working.
Will you indeed, Shane? Would you like to tell us where you'll be working, Shane, and
this
why?
This week, when this episode came out, I will be in the United States of America on tour doing stand-up. And you get tickets anywhere, anywhere in the world.
Just a cheeky plug. What I like
any
is
shop.
That sentence had the three tenses. You had past, present and future. So this week, when the podcast came out, you will be in America.
Eventually.
Doing your shows.
San Francisco, good. LA, Boston, huge. Chicago, Washington, New York.
We're going to mention a few of those places as great. Well in this podcast and the way they celebrate St. Patrick's Day. So
great.
What a lovely little tie-in.
Just to make off, do you want me to plug your book?
Yeah, if you could.
Do we do an ad for it?
Yeah, fuck it.
You can clip this if you want. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Sorry, one sec. The debut novel by Dublin-born but London-living author Hazel, what's your middle name?
Marie.
Hazel Marie Hayes, HMH. It's Out of Love. She was in love, and then she wasn't because her husband died.
Sure, that's not what happens.
Okay,
but it might
be your story, and you might relate it to this. It's a book, it's available in paperback, hardback, softback, bareback. What else? It's an ebook.
Brokeback.
Kindle. Is it on Kindle?
Yeah.
It's on Kindle. Out of Love. Let's see what these people have said about it. Amazing. The Times. Whoa. New York Times. A lot of times. Great. Hazel herself. Out of Love. Available everywhere now.
Wow.
What do you think?
I think, thank you so much. And I cannot see the producers leaving that in the show.
Featured on Richard and Judy's book club.
No,
one will fact check it. Doesn't matter.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, Shane. That's wonderful. Good luck with your American shows.
Thank you.
Very excited. Jesus. Shall we crack on with
I will be reading Out of Love by Hazel Hayes.
Imagine you just turned up to the stage and you just opened this little book. Okay.
She find herself in a big God. City with small dreams. What does that even mean?
The first thing that struck me when I started researching St. Patrick's Day was how it's essentially a day off Lent. Now, in order to discuss this, you will need to know what Lent is. So I think let's ask Shane what you know about Lent.
Lent is when people lie. Basically, it's when people go, I'm going off this thing. And then halfway through the month, they go, I'm supposed to be off this. And it's like, I thought you were off crisps. And they're like, oh, yeah well.
Wolf and down a bag of tater.
Yeah. And then It becomes a funny thing. It's a thing where people try and have like a New Year's resolution, essentially. I'm going to go off something. They deny themselves something.
Yeah.
And it's usually like, it's maybe takeaways or crisps. It's mainly crisps.
It's people go off. A lot of crisps.
Or like some people will go off smack.
Yeah.
You know, opiates, whatever it is.
If you were able to just give up smack for Lent.
For the Lord.
Just for a few weeks and then get back on it.
I'd be giving up gear for God.
I'd be really impressed if that were the case.
I actually don't know a lot about Lent. I hate stuff like that.
Oh, it's silly.
New Year's resolution.
It's
a Lent.
Silly.
I'm doing this thing. Grow up. If you love the thing, keep.
If you want a bag of crisps, have a bag of crisps.
If you like fentanyl, keep having it. Don't go off it for Lent. That's not cool.
Go off it for other reasons. I think, stay on it. I think the 6 weeks off is just look. Basically, St. Patrick's Day though is like a Lenten loophole, if you will. Created by some very clever Catholics as a way of getting around the restrictions that are imposed during Lent. Now, for the listeners, if you don't know what Lent is, frankly, I'm jealous. I wish I didn't know. I wish I had never had to endure it myself. Alas, I did because I grew up Catholic.
What did you used to go off?
Fucking crisps, Shane.
Yeah.
It was crisps. I don't know why kids were obsessed with going off the crisps. Basically, Lent is a tradition observed mostly by Catholics, also other Christian denominations. And it's all over the world, right? But it was very, very much a very big thing growing up in Ireland. And I mean, this was only fairly recently. So going back, way back when, it was upheld. It really was upheld by people. Another interesting fact about Lent. At the beginning of Lent, the day before Ash Wednesday, when everyone went and got a little bit of ash put on their foreheads, and I'm not entirely sure why, you have Shrove Tuesday. The day before. Now, because Lent was coming up and people were going to be giving up a lot of fatty foods, meat, alcohol, all the good
smack,
ketamine, all the good stuff, they would basically have a feast day before and use up all the stuff in the house. So they go to the pantry, they get the milk, the eggs, the butter, the flour, use it all up. And generally speaking, this would make a nice batter to make pancakes. Hence, Pancake Tuesday is actually Shrove Tuesday. So no one calls it that anymore.
And in real life, when we did this, that was yesterday.
In real life, when we're recording this, Pancake Tuesday was. Do you know what happened as well? I made pancakes and I didn't know it was Pancake Tuesday.
Come on.
Like something somewhere deep in my bones.
Yes, yeah.
The wee little Catholic still inside me somewhere was like.
You have a little Catholic inside you?
A tiny little Catholic.
Like, have you seen Men in Black, where a lot of my references come from? With a guy, like the open his face and he's got a wee guy driving him.
Mine is a tiny little Catholic girl.
Right, that's terrifying.
And she just wanted pancakes yesterday.
Oh, wow, that's terrifying. Like what's her name?
Mary.
Mary. Mary wants pancakes, Hazel.
Wee Mary, the tiny Catholic.
Yeah.
It's pancake day, yes it's pancake day, yes it's pancake day. Well it's pancake day, it's really pancake day, yes it's pancake day. Now the merry men know about
now,
pancake
day. What the fuck does all this have to do with St. Patrick's Day, you might ask? Well,
good question.
St. Patrick's Day falls on March 17th, which is roughly 2 weeks into Lent. And so Catholics have very cleverly claimed this holiday and used it as an excuse to get absolutely trashed without pissing off God.
Yeah.
Genius.
Is that called a day in lieu or something? What do you call that?
Well, the church has said sometimes that maybe if they did take the day off, they could pay it back somewhere else. But how many people do you think are actually doing
it? Yeah.
Yeah, they're not. So in 1631, the church established a day honouring the patron saint of Ireland. Now, there are some arguments as to who the patron saint of Ireland is. We've had a lot of messages from people who actually think it's St. Bridget. So what we're going to do is a separate episode on St. Bridget another time.
Right.
Just to let all you...
But it isn't.
Just to let, not officially.
No,
just to
let, at, not at all?
No.
Okay.
But just to let
so
you
why
know,
are we doing an episode for those people?
Well, she's a good laugh as well.
Okay.
She's a good laugh as well. That's so we will be doing St. Bridget.
Yeah.
Just we're just going to keep everybody happy. So 1631, and this is a while after Paddy's been here now.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure why they decided this in this particular year, but the church established a day for St. Patrick, and it was celebrated predominantly in Ireland, where it was a very, it was a somber occasion spent mainly in prayer. But by the 1700s, the holiday had started to take a decidedly more festive turn. And the founders hadn't really intended this.
Right.
That said, it was actually Irish immigrants, mostly in the US, who made this happen. So back home, we were still being very pious.
Because they could tell people their own version of it.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They just landed somewhere new. Said, oh, we've got this thing called St. Patrick's Day. Oh, what do you do? Oh,
God wants you to give us free stout all day in any of your bars.
Yeah. God says that we should get absolutely shit-faced.
Yeah.
Just have the crack.
Yeah.
Just have the crack for the day and people went, oh,
and you have to
great.
Kiss us? You have to kiss us?
Yeah, yeah.
We're Irish, so you
yeah,
gotta...
Yeah, you gotta kiss us and give us money.
Yeah.
And crack.
Dye your river green.
Yeah.
Where do they do that? Is Boston or Chicago?
That's Chicago.
Chicago.
Fact coming up on that. So it's the Irish immigrants who did this. They're largely responsible for slowly shifting St. Patrick's Day from a religious observation to a more secular one. Now, Boston obviously had a huge Irish population since that's sort of, you know, where we landed and were most settled at the time. They held the first parade in 1737. New York followed 25 years later. And since 1962, Chicago has coloured its river green. That's it. What's weird about it is green was not associated with St. Patrick, which I think we mentioned in the other episode was he was more associated with the colour blue.
Yeah.
Back in his day.
But the water already is blue.
I guess it was just an easier. I don't know why
someone
they,
had
they
green,
picked this up.
Someone had green river dye and they went, let's just, it's green, yeah. It's all green.
The traditional dyeing of the Chicago River dates back to 1962. Thanks to the Plumbers Union, the bright green drawing thousands to the riverfront to kick off the celebrations.
It's cold. Let me ask you, how do they do that?
Bloke by the name of Mike Butler.
Yeah.
Right.
Always at your service.
Hold on, I'll just call Mike Butler.
Yeah.
He started the tradition in 1962, right, dyeing the rivers. He passed away in 2018 and apparently kept it a big secret. But his daughter said he was very, very secretive about the dye. After he'd pick up the powder each year, it was hidden in the garage. When asked about the secret recipe, he'd say, I'll take it to my grave.
I mean, Mike, don't do that. Tell someone.
Tell someone so they
trust your daughter. What do you think she's going to do with it?
So, yeah, so that's...
What does your dad keep in his garage? A car? Some oil? No. He keeps the powder to dye the river in Chicago.
Yep. And because of all of this happening abroad, it became a feast day here as well. I say here as though we're in Dublin. We're not. But sometimes in my head, I think that I am.
I think in people's hearts we are.
I think in my heart. I'm in Dublin. I'm always in Ireland in my heart. So it became a feast day here. And even though the pubs were still closed because it was a holy day, not only were they not getting pissed, they closed the pubs until the 1970s.
So oh, wow.
Really not that long ago.
Right.
Didn't stop people celebrating. Obviously, families would enjoy a full Irish breakfast in the morning. They'd have a big meal at dinner, both of which included meat, which you're not supposed to have.
Here's my problem there.
Yeah.
And it's a wee bit like Christmas, kind of. They've got the big, you say big Irish breakfast and a big evening meal.
Yeah.
You know what would piss me off? In the middle of the day, I go, oh, guys, what's for lunch? And they would go, well, we had a big breakfast and we're having a big dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, lunch.
Lunch.
No.
Still important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want like, oh, we're just going to have a few small things for lunch. No, we're not. We're going to have lunch.
You feel so strongly about this whenever
so
we talk
strongly.
About Christmas.
I hate that. Oh, we had like a late breakfast at Christmas. What time's Christmas dinner? Is it like 3? No, it's 7. No, it isn't.
Okay, well, okay. They had big
bacon
Irish
and sausage
breakfast.
Sandwiches
they had an
for
Irish
lunch.
Breakfast in the morning. They had a massive lunch and also a big meal at dinner.
Yes.
Loads of meat. Usually bacon or ham because beef wasn't readily available in Ireland at the time, so it was considered a luxury. Now, bear with me. Corned beef is a big tradition in the US for Patrick's Day, not at home though.
Yeah.
The tradition of corned beef on Paddy's Day came about because the emigrants were trying to emulate the feast back home. So corned beef was the meat that they could easily and more cheaply get their hands on. And so this became the meal of choice for generations for Irish Americans. But it's funny that it's become such a big thing when it actually wasn't back home. It was mostly bacon or ham. Now, back home, people would also have a few bevvies.
Oh, what?
They'd have a few drinks on St. Patrick's Day. Sure, why not? In his honour.
That's what he would have wanted.
To Patrick, they'd say. The custom has become known as Put a Fodrig or Patrick's Pot, based on a legend about him tricking an innkeeper into pouring bigger glasses of whiskey for his patrons.
Love that.
It was a very long story. I cut it out. The bottom line was Paddy was like, oi, that's too skimpy a fucking...
Measure
of whiskey. And then he told the innkeeper something about a demon in his basement. And then the innkeeper gave everyone loads of drink.
Yeah. Innkeeper like, if you shut up, I'll give everyone free drink.
Yeah. That's basically what happened. But here's the thing. Meat isn't allowed during Lent, nor is alcohol, nor is fun or happiness of any kind as I can understand it. So on St. Patrick's Day, it was all allowed. Hence, the Lenten loophole was born. Now, a lot of people still observe Lent in some ways. Like they don't eat meat on a Friday during Lent, for example. However, sometimes St. Patrick's Day falls on a Friday.
What are you going to do?
In 2017, St. Patrick's Day fell on a Friday and caused a lot of confusion, Shane. They didn't know what to do because they're supposed to eat meat for St. Patrick. Mm-hmm. They're not supposed to eat meat for Jesus. So about 80, at least 80 Roman Catholic dioceses across the United States had to put out an announcement before St. Patrick's Day to say there was an exemption that year to the no meat rule.
I think what you do is you do like plant-based alternatives and that satisfies
right?
everyone.
If we just weren't eating meat to begin with, we'd be absolutely grand.
No, I don't mean we don't eat meat to begin with. I mean that day, if we're stuck between both camps, let's have a, what do you call
cheeky
that?
Beyond Meat Burger.
A Beyond Meat Burger.
Richmond plant-based sausages. They're delicious, by the way. I started buying all of them. Yeah, they're really good. Do you know what I've realised about burgers is once
careful, because I love burgers. But go ahead.
What, careful, because I might offend you because you love burgers.
Yeah.
Sure. Once you, though, put like a patty of whether it's meat or plant-based or whatever in between two nice sort of toasted flowery baps, you got your lettuce, your tomato, your onion, your cheese melted on it maybe, you got your sauces, your ketchup, your mayo, your whatever. It really doesn't matter whether that's meat or a plant-based burger anymore because you can't fucking taste it with all the extra shit on it.
It's a little bit like chips from the chippy. If you have, like myself, salt and vinegar red sauce on it.
Yeah.
That can cover not great chips.
It absolutely can.
And ruin great chips.
Yes. Yeah, great chips could be a bit dry.
Can someone make art where they quote me a black and white picture of me and put that quote up? Don't use one from the podcast. Just use an image of me that I can supply.
Okay.
Sorry.
Wonderful. So I think we'll take a little break there. We'll come back with some unusual celebrations from around the world. Shane, where do you think the longest St. Patrick's Day celebration is held?
Mount Titi, Tenerife.
Okay. We'll find out after the break.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to We're Not Fucking Historians. Before the break, we asked Shane where the longest St. Patrick's Day celebrations are held. And he said...
I said Mount Teide in Tenerife.
You did.
Because I like Tenerife, but I think it's Tahiti. So is it Mount Tahiti in Tenerife, not Teide?
I don't know. It's not there.
No, I mean, is that the answer?
No.
Oh, okay.
The answer is actually Montserrat in the Caribbean.
I weirdly think... Not that I knew that, but I think I've heard that before.
Like, it's in there somewhere. Yeah, buried. Yeah, fair enough. So basically in the 17th century, bunch of Irish Catholic dudes went over there. They mingled with the locals, made some friends. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, they say Patrick's Day is a big deal in Ireland and in the US, but I think Montserrat may top them both. They have a
national holiday.
It's a national holiday. It's the only other country where it's a national holiday. Well done. And they have a full week. They've like a full week of celebrations.
Their chancers, like, they're
love it.
It's like, guys, I like it, but at the same time, come on now. Come on now. There's work to be done. What are we doing?
They've adopted quite a nice little holiday there, haven't they? Yeah, they've got a whole week. They've got concerts. They wear their shamrocks. They've got all sorts of different music, services, dinners.
Next year,
they
Hazel.
Love it.
No, we can't go this year because I'll actually, on that night, I'll be performing in Los Angeles. All tickets available on all my social media platform bios. What about next year? We go to Montserrat.
Shane, I would love nothing
We're
more.
Not fucking historian special. We film the whole thing. I don't know what we do with it, but we do it.
I would love that. I was in New York 1 year for Patrick's
Day. Me too.
It's really cool, isn't it? But also weird.
Can I give an opinion?
I would love to hear your
potentially
opinion.
Controversial. It probably isn't controversial. People need to get over, and we've all been guilty of it, definitely me too, this snobbery towards St. Paddy's Day. I.e., when people on Twitter, Americans always get done for this, when they write Paddy's Day, P-A-T-T-Y-S. Like, okay, it's Paddy's and it's not Paddy's, but why the constant correction and the like, that's wrong, it's Paddy's Day. It's like, as well, you see people from home go over there and like cringe at like, oh, that's, you know, you're saying Galway, it's actually Galway. See all stuff like that, drop it.
Yeah, we could maybe ease up on that. I've been guilty of that.
Me too.
Paddy's Day does bother me.
Why?
I don't know. You're so right. Who gives a fuck? People are celebrating. They're having a nice day. I don't know.
Even you see it when, like, say you're in London.
Yeah.
People be like, why are they celebrating this? Why is there English people out having Guinness? Who gives a fuck?
Who gives a shit? It's a nice... We're all
like,
together having a
see
nice
it
day.
As a compliment.
Yeah.
The people have taken this Irish holiday and they're celebrating and they want to join in.
That's really beautiful, Shane. I think that's probably the least cynical thing you've ever
people
said on
this
podcast.
People need to fuck off. And just enjoy
the
their day.
On.
Just enjoy. Just drink your pint and shut up.
Okay, fair.
Patrick wouldn't want you running about slagging people off.
He wouldn't. Patrick was a nice man.
Yeah.
And he would have liked you to just be nice to people and have a nice day.
Be dead on and just say, hey, have a good one, the people.
How was your Patrick's Day in New York?
It was cool. I was doing a gig. I saw the parade, which was nice. There was a general good feeling about the city. They love it. They do it right.
They love it.
They probably celebrate it more than we do. Like even Dublin and Belfast. Like
I do love the parade in Dublin.
Yeah.
There's a real soft spot for that.
They do a big thing in Belfast too, but like I feel like they go all out, and that's probably born out of people missing home, so they put way more into it.
I did notice when I was over there, there was a lot more like school marching bands.
Yeah.
We just don't have that many. Like ours is very like you have all the wee bullock characters and it's all very colourful and floats and like, yeah, like big sort of set pieces. But over there, there really was just marching band after marching band after marching band.
It's quite like official and
it's
quite serious.
It's almost military, isn't it?
Yeah, you've
it's
got
very,
like
regimented.
Yeah, the Mafia do a wee march. The Ku Klux Klan, the Bloods, the Crips, they have a float.
They're all out.
Yeah, who else?
Why are you always
Hezbollah?
Having... Okay.
They're at it.
Yeah.
You know?
Everyone's out on the day. I liked in New York, though. There's a photo of me being lifted up by a group of sailors that evening after many drinks. Just out on the street, just sort of like leaning.
Oh, yeah.
Held.
Class. Like actual sailors?
Actual sailors.
Class.
I mean, they might have just had costumes.
They were out for a stag.
I don't fucking
know. It was a stag, dude.
I don't remember a lot of it. There was drink and there's a photo. That's all I know. Nice. So, yeah, no. Montserrat, biggest celebration, longest celebration in the world.
Fair play to them.
San Francisco.
I'm going there too. Cobb's Comedy Club.
You are playing there. Well, here's a strange tradition. From 1964 to 1988, they had a snake race every year on St. Patrick's Day.
I mean, are we talking live snakes?
I guess.
Ooh.
If you're from San Fran and you know anything about this...
Or if you ever won it.
Please email us.
Yeah.
hello@nothistorians.com.
Yeah.
I would love to hear...
I want to know more about
if
that.
If you grew up with that as a tradition, were they live snakes? How many snakes?
Yeah.
Where was it held?
Yeah.
How was it measured? How did they get them to go in a straight line?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Training, probably.
Look rocky. Load of snakes chasing chickens. Nebraska has the world's largest shamrock painted on the road in the town of O'Neill. It's not quite a snake race, though, is it?
No.
Is it Nebraska?
It's not an unbelievable fact. Because you could just paint a bigger one if you really wanted to. Like, we could buy paint in B&Q right now.
Probably could.
And just go and do one in, I don't know, Kings Park. That would be seen as a war. That probably be seen as a war crime. We'd get killed for treason.
We probably would be hung.
Our heads would be outside the Tower of London by dinner time. It'd be good promo for the pod, no?
Great promo for the pod. Yeah, I mean, any publicity is good publicity. What else do we have associated with Paddy's Day? So whiskey, obviously.
I'm not a whiskey guy, but yeah.
Not really a whiskey guy myself, Shane, but people bloody love it.
Yeah.
They love it and it's become synonymous with the day. According to the Irish Whiskey Association, more Irish whiskey, upwards of 5 million bottles, is consumed the week of St. Patrick's Day than on any other week in the year. 5 million bottles more? That's not just like...
Yeah, not just 5 million.
Jesus.
Wow.
So... we have that legend about St. Patrick and the stingy innkeeper, which is potentially why that's tied to St. Patrick's Day. There's also different stories about why whiskey might be associated. There's a story that when St. Patrick was on his deathbed, he supposedly asked those gathered around him to toast his heavenly journey with a wee drop of whiskey to ease their pain. That's
nice.
A nice one. I like that's that. Nice. That could be it. It's often thought he brought whiskey to Ireland. However, it's much more likely that someone else brought whiskey to Ireland. Would you like to take a guess at that, Shane?
No.
It's your old pals.
The Mafia?
No?
My old... The monks?
The monks!
Yeah!
There we have it. It may well have been the monks. So the first reference to whiskey in Ireland was 1170. Shortly after his invasion of Ireland, Henry II noted that the Irish were in the habit of making and drinking aqua vitae, which is Latin for water of life. In Gaelic, it was called ishkabaha, a term that was eventually changed, bastardized, you might say, by the English into whiskey. So it's impossible, really, for the practice of distillation to have been introduced into Ireland by St. Patrick, because he grew up in Roman Britain during the 5th century, and there's no historical evidence whatsoever of
there was no soda streams.
They didn't have any soda streams at the time. That's exactly a change.
We believe.
We're fairly certain.
Yeah.
There were no soda streams at the time. So the more likely explanation is that knowledge of distillation diffused from the Middle East via various routes sometime between the 8th and 12th centuries, and monasteries became the repository of that knowledge. So it was actually passed by travelling monks coming from the East.
Love that.
Good lads. I think that's maybe the first decent thing. Besides, you know, keep all the history for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm quite proud of the monks for that one.
Yeah.
They didn't get killed in that story.
No.
Fair play. We've got a few emails.
Yeah, we have an email from Lowenna, which, can I just say, is a name I've never said before.
Lowenna.
And I hope it's not the last time
I say it.
It's
a lovely name.
Lowenna. Really nice.
Yeah.
Not sure this story is that interesting, but it's one I seem to tell at least one new person every St. Patrick's Day, so why not tell you guys too? We love that.
We love it.
On St. Patrick's Day 2016, my course mates, in brackets, a Welsh woman and an English woman, and myself, a Cornish woman. Is this a one-liner?
Did they walk into a bar?
We had a nightmarish statistics exam. I mean, what statistics exam is?
No other kind.
Whilst at Cardiff University, we came out of the exam at midday miserable and decided to go to the pub for lunch to make ourselves feel better.
Sure.
My Welsh friend at the time, who, by the way, can I point out on a side note, isn't Welsh now. My Welsh friend, at the now Iranian, was drunkenly moaning about being single, and I drunkenly told her to pass me her phone and I'll match her with the love of her life on Tinder right now.
Oh.
After I did a bit of swiping, I happened to get her a match with an Irishman. So I sent him a message saying, "Hi, Jody's wing woman here. We're at the pub and there's a distinct lack of Irish people this St. Patrick's Day. Fancy joining?" Guess what, Hazel? He did.
No.
He turned up and the first thing he did was buy a round of drinks, which instantly won us students over. Now, can I just say at this point, I'm going, like, what age was he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's won these students over. He's 57. He's not right.
But he's an investment banker and he's doing really well for himself.
We played Irish Schnapp, which, have you heard of?
No.
I think he's made this up. One friend was kicked out for falling and knocking over a load of drinks. Oh, I sustained a snap-related injury that left my pinky finger swollen to three times its size for nearly 2 weeks. And Jodie had an inconsolable breakdown in the chippy after losing her purse. Is that not a Brian Adams song? No, Bon Jovi.
I knew you meant Bon Jovi.
Fuck.
Oh, good. I think Snap might be that game with the coasters.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you have
to snap
it off the table and catch it.
Jody is to having a good syllable breakdown in the chippy after losing her purse. It was a good night. Somehow this did not scare the Irish boy off, and he and my friend got along so well they officially got together a few weeks later. Ooh. It then became a tradition every year for us all to go to that same pub to get shit-faced and play Irish Snap on St. Patrick's Day.
Wait, are they together still? Did they get married? Have they got kids?
Here's the last sentence of the email.
What?
Sadly, they broke up just over 3 years later, so the tradition was short-lived. But hey, it was a good time, and I definitely have romanticised there being a luck of the Irish in the air on St. Patrick's Day. Now, that is a lovely story, Lowenna. We love that
story.
We appreciate it. And send us an email and let us know why they broke up.
With specifics and text messages, if at all possible.
Yeah.
That's lovely. We've got another email from Ruth McCormick. Let's hope it's A, shorter, and B, happier.
No, that's a happy deal.
It didn't end well. They broke up.
I know, but...
Yeah.
He was 93 and they were students.
Maybe he just died. Maybe they didn't. Maybe he just died of old age. After spending all his money on pints for students.
Yeah.
You know something must be shocking if Shane is shocked by it. I just said that and he looked like...
Maybe he died. I mean...
What if he was that old? Okay. Email from Ruth McCormick. She says, my dad is Irish, and so growing up, my family all celebrated St. Patrick's Day. I'm assuming she doesn't live in Ireland. Because if she does, it's a weird way to start.
My mum and dad are Irish, and we celebrate growing up.
And we
up.
Live in Ireland. Dad's Irish, so growing up, my family celebrated St. Patrick's Day. We always tried to have a meal that was only green food, which is actually quite difficult, with the main event being my dad's homemade green bread, basically just loaded with green food colouring. We live in England. There we go. We live in England. And I didn't realise eating green bread wasn't something everyone did for quite a while.
Mr. McCormick, 9 pints deep, serving up the green bread. Here's the thing. That's so sad that Ruth thinks her dad put green food there. It was just moulded bread.
It was
bread.
Just old bread,
It was
Ruth.
Just bread. Mr McCormick used to fire a loaf into the coal shed at Christmas time, and then he'd go and get it on St. Patrick's morning. Growing up, we used to always be ill for the entire month of March.
And we always wondered why.
Yeah, I love that. Your dad's a legend.
Jesus, thanks for that, Ruth.
Having a green meal.
I think that must happen though. Like, you must have a lot of people with these weird specific family traditions, then growing up thinking this is a thing that people do.
Yeah.
Highly embarrassing.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear about it if this happened to you. I just thought they'd be more drink related, honestly, but green bread, I didn't see.
To just insist on a meal of green food. Mr. McCormick's so unreasonable.
That's not that hard. There's so much food that's naturally green. Like, you didn't need to dye the bread.
Yeah. No. Just... He did.
Well, okay.
Yeah, we love that. If you want to get in touch on any subject covered so far or suggest the subject that we should cover, hello@nothistorians.com.
That's the one. This has been our St. Patrick's Day special coming up in a couple of days. Hope you all enjoy a very lovely, happy and safe St. Patrick's Day wherever you are. Have a few scoops.
Yeah, and don't worry about being safe. Enjoy yourself. If you want to skateboard over a bridge, do it. You want to run with a pair of scissors? Run.
Fuck it.
It's what Paddy would have wanted.
Get drunk first.
Cut the head off a snake. We are on social media.
We are on social media. We're at The Hazel Hayes, Shane Todd Comedy. You can get in touch. You can let us know what you're up to for St. Patrick's Day or what you got up to. Yep. And we'll have a chat about it in an upcoming episode.
Yep.
Rate, review, subscribe. Let us know what you think of the pod.
Yep.
Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemies.
Cheers.
Cheers. Have a great St. Patrick's Day, everyone. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Loyal Aforig Honajiv.
Used to play for Barcelona.
I did used to play for Barcelona. That's it. Thanks. And until next time.
Remember, we're not fucking historians.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
She found herself in a big God. City with small dreams. What does that even mean? Her name was Doris, the main character in Out of Love by Hazel Hayes.
Okay.
A revelation, the sun.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Annette Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.